Technorama episode 576, Lightyear. Tastes great, less filling. Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi. I love the animation on that. That was fun. I made a slight tweak to Wirecast. Yeah, so it goes from just my talking head, and then I sort of pull back, and you're there. When we do the multiple displays, it morphs.
it's like a brick wall, like we're at a comedy club or something.
All we are is just another brick in the wall. This is Technorama, and this is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and moving cameras around the screen. Ooh, I got great. Donna a new toy. I got her the Elgato, Stream Deck. 15 little buttons you can program to do this stuff so she doesn't have to go hunting for icons. And there's still some hunting
for icons. No, but too bad she can't. She'd have a button for get Chuck to do the laundry, get Chuck to go to the store, get Chuck to. Is that the kind of things you can program it to do?
She's chuckling over there. Get Chuck to get his hands off me.
Whoa. Yeah. Pepper spray in that case.
All right. I'm Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And that gentleman right over there is Craig Stapp.
I'm from dark South Carolina.
It's dark. It's getting very dark now. The days are getting much shorter. Happy equinox. I think it was yesterday or today.
Oh, yeah.
Sometime around here. So now we're in the dark half of the year.
Yes, when I walk the dog in the morning, the sun's coming up a little bit later, and days are shorter.
Goes down earlier. It's funny because during the summer, I had my patio lights turn on at 7:30, and it was like, wow, it's not going to be dark for another hour. Now they're coming on. It's like, it's been dark for an hour. Why aren't the lights on?
Yeah, that's right.
So you got to adjust the little things. I know there's a way to do them at sunset and sunrise, but hey, we haven't talked to you since before Dragon Con. So thank you for joining us, wonderful viewer and or listener. And real quick recap, we had a wonderful time. We had our Comedy Forecast Technorama show live again. Had a lot of fun with that, talking to Pamela Gay and Amy J. Murphy. And Bonnie was there, did a wonderful part of what did they have, like 16 parts each. It was an interesting mashup of our shows as usual.
Yes.
We also did our Topic is Trek podcast. If you haven't listened to that, it's over at thetopicistrek.com.
Yeah, we did Jeopardy during the live show.
We played Star Trek Jeopardy. Yep, during the live show. We gave away stickers.
Jeopardy.
Limited edition stickers. the black and white stickers.
Or the white and black ones.
Right. Some were half white and black, and some were half black and white. So depending on how you go. Or some people took one of each.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
It was funny. It was funnier when we were planning this back in June.
Yeah.
It was one of those things.
After a while, I was like, I guess
that's hysterical. And then we're handing them out. Like, okay. We're getting some mailing labels with some marker on them.
Yeah. Oh,
well. Yeah, they can't all be golden goose eggs. For us, they're just goose eggs.
Yeah. Actually, I think Dragon Con this year was a lot more of hanging out with our friends rather than attending panels and stuff.
We had a wonderful time with the free awkward hug sign.
Oh, God, yes. Actually,
Christine Fiore was initiated into the club.
What was funny was she says, I think she was trying to say something to the effect that she didn't think a female would get the kind of reaction that we would be getting. I was like, well, let's find out. She was like, no, I don't know.
I give it 5 seconds. I counted to three and she was in.
So I just smoothed her over a little bit. Next thing you know, she took the sign and she had a great time doing it. And just holding up the stupid awkward hug sign. And I need to see Donna doing that.
We had our own private karaoke party on Sunday night. That was a lot of fun too.
Yeah. Yeah, to varying degrees of, singing ability. But yes, we had a great time.
You know what's fun about doing karaoke parties, though, is even if you can't sing, the crowd joins in every time.
Here's the thing about that. I know, and I'm still laughing about it now because I stopped in the same place on the same song two different times. But you're singing words and you go, wait, that's not... That's not what I thought they were saying.
We were singing Violin Femmes, Blister in the Sun.
Big hands. I know you're the one. I was like, big hands. All these years they say big hands. What does that mean?
Same thing as alligator lizards in the air. I don't know. You tell me. Everything else in that song makes sense except that part.
Yeah. What was the other one that was it Stone Temple Pilots or something? And anyway, starts singing about babies on the field and stuff. I'm like, no, I know what it was. It was
Oh, you were eating babies or have no appetite or something.
And I was like, yeah, and I stopped. I ended up saying having the same reaction to the words, and Scott Tyler and you started laughing because we did it together before everybody came over, and I did the same thing at the same time, reacting to what they just say. Babies in the field for
being, yeah. I didn't know the song well enough to even dispute it, so I'm like, well, it is what it is.
I think I like the version in my head better than I did the one on the words. But...
anyway. I just sing the words the way I think they're sung.
Yeah. Hey, and by the way, before we go, after Dragon Con,
yes,
Kim and I went to go see Hootie and the Blowfish.
Cool.
In Charlotte, and they were with the Bare Naked Ladies. And, you know, we got varying degrees of age in our listeners. Some of them will think this is funny. But Bare Naked Lady said something and mentioned about this first one this first single came out on a cassette, a single, I think is what he said.
Hmm.
He said, oh, yeah. Anybody remember cassettes? And everybody started to applaud. And I was like, that's the first time I think I've heard a cassette get applause. People were like, woo! I was like, what?
This one first came out on wax cylinder.
Who's nostalgic for cassettes? Yay!
Here, have some pencils.
Yeah, here's some pencils and paper for you. There you go.
Ah, my eye. No, the pencil so you can rewind it.
Don't throw them out there. Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah.
All right. Anyway, I just thought
that was hilarious.
Can we do our listener feedback?
Sure.
All right. Just because I love the music.
A. B.
This show is produced live before a studio audience. We have a studio and we have an audience. I didn't say they were in the same place.
Yes, right. We have a studio. Let's find out
what you got to say. What? Boy! Mailman!
Mail today! There
we go. So, our question for Facebook is. Where'd it go? Finish this sentence. I'd be rich if I had a dollar every time, ... And some people are saying, you know, every time I yelled at my kids.
Yeah.
Posted a picture of my daughter. Someone even said every time Chuck posts a question to Facebook. I thought that was rather creative. If John Miller Jr. says every time Bob Barker said, have your pets spayed or neutered. Good one.
Hmm. Yeah.
The sometimes... Nikki Vannerwijnen says, someone said my last name wrong. Oh, yes.
That would have been cool. Tell me about it.
Rob Real has, every time someone pronounced my last name as Ryle, not Real. I get that. Yep.
I would never mispronounce that man's name. Actually, you know what? We didn't see a Dragon Con this year.
We didn't see who? We did not see Rob. Well.
Oh, you're just now missing him. I see.
No,
jump on the bandwagon, Chuck.
We missed Sam since Friday night. We're not sure what happened to her Sunday and Monday, or Saturday, yeah. Sunday, Monday. It but Mark, my friend, says, I asked if I'm lost. I have a dollar every time I asked if I was lost. Am I lost? let's see. April says, every time I forgot something. Kristen says, the doors were left open with the AC on or the lights left on and no one is around.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I like Diana Lewis's. I'd be rich if I had a dollar every time I spent a dollar.
I know. Yeah, that's some logic for you.
Many, many great responses. Craig, give me some highlights of what you got from your post.
All right, so let's take a look. Charles McFall says someone said happy birthday. It was actually his birthday when I posted this.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. Gary Lindros says, I was asked to fix a computer problem.
Oh, and you responded as...
I can relate.
Yes. So you're the computer guy. Yeah, that's like saying I'm a doctor.
Actually, you know what? I would probably say, I'd be rich if I had a dollar every time somebody said, "Hey, I got a quick question."
You know what? We need if someone said, "Hey, I'm a doctor," and they said, "You know, I'm having this problem with my shoulder." You say, "Oh, that's good, because I'm a proctologist." We need something like that for the IT industry, just so people go, "Oh, never mind."
Yeah. Oh, I'm a crypto expert. Anyway, every that's time someone says, "Yeah," Victor Cayal says, "Huh? What'd you say?"
Oh, I'm a crypto expert. That's not funny. It's not going to make anybody go away. They're going to go, "What's that?"
I'm a fractal encryption specialist. Victor Cayal says every time somebody says Apple is doomed. Kiefer says someone asked me if we sold stamps at the post office that I work at. You sell stamps? Nah.
No, we gave that up. We don't use stamps anymore. Scrum. Just
see, Ann Cole Feather. If you live in the South, you'll hear this a lot. Every time somebody says, "Bless my heart."
Oh yeah, there was a comedian that went on about that. It was funny.
Yeah, and you know he's right. It can go either way in the South. It can be a disparaging comment, or it can be a oh.
I like, you know, JT kind of Shays says every time a YouTuber says "guys." Yeah.
That's funny. So anyway,
there are good answers out there. If you want to follow Craig, follow me, follow the Technorama podcast, you can find out what our question this week is. We'll be posting that to social media very, very soon. Thank you for all your responses. They're very entertaining, and that's what gets us through the week.
Yeah.
That and, in Craig's case, caffeine.
Hey, as long as we're entertained, who cares?
If it weren't fun for us, we wouldn't do this long, would we?
Yeah. Thanks.
All right, history time, and we have a lot of it, so we're going to have to get through this. On this day in history for September 25th, 2019, this is the 268th day of the year. There's less than 100 days. There's only 97 in 2019. It was on this date in 1513 that Spanish explorer Vasco Núñez de Balboa reaches what would become known as the Balboa Sea. No, I'm making that up. He discovered the... You know, he came across the Pacific Ocean.
I thought you were going to say Rocky. Anyway, September 25th, 1690, public occurrences, both foreign and domestic, which all of those words do look misspelled, but they're not. The first newspaper to appear in the Americas as published for the first time.
And only time.
Only time.
Imagine what a copy of that would be worth today. Hey,
we're going to retire at the top of our game.
They couldn't give it away. Yeah. Have you tried advertising, sir? The Teton Sioux, a subdivision of the Lakota, demanded one of the boats from the Lewis and Clark expedition as a toll for allowing the expeditions to move further upriver on this date in 1804. I'd like to just see him there. What do you think we can get? I think we can get a boat. Yeah, ask him for a boat. Ask him for two boats.
At same date in 1890, the United States Congress establishes the Sequoia National Park.
It was on this date in 1906 that Leonardo Torres y Quevedo demonstrates. I'm getting here. This is a random name from history you don't remember. The Telequino, guiding a boat from the shore, which is considered to be the first use of a remote control in 1906.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. That same date in 1956, TAT-1, the first submarine transatlantic telephone cable system, is inaugurated.
Watson, come here. I need you.
Yeah.
It was also on this date in 1977 that about 4,200 people take part in the first running of the Chicago Marathon.
And September 25th, 1992, NASA launches the Mars Observer. 11 months later, the probe would fail while preparing for an orbital insertion.
Yes,
it inserted
it
too well.
Happy birthday goes out of this date to English explorer and navigator Stephen Borrow, born on this date in 1525.
Okay, embrace yourself, kids. Ole Romder.
Sven and Ole.
Ole. The Danish astronomer and instrument maker was born 375 years ago today.
Instrument maker? Did he make the trumpets for this song?
Yeah. Well, actually, he's so old that he won't care that I mispronounce his name.
Jean-Baptiste Delibes de Beaumont, the French geologist and engineer. It's all about the names. I'm just... These people may not have anything to do with science or industry technology, but hey, he was born on that date in 1798.
And German paleontologist and geologist Carl Alfred von Zittel.
Nice.
Born on this date in 1839. Well, I was going to keep reading. I didn't realize that's the bullet there.
Harald Kremer. Kremer? The Swedish mathematician? Sounds like he could have come up with a candy solution. And statistician. Well, I got that word right. It was born on the same date in 1893.
Where'd you get these names today?
These Russian, are good ones.
Russian pianist and composer Dmitri Shostakovich.
Shostakovich. You got to listen to more music, man.
I don't. But they never pronounce his name in the music.
Yes, they do.
Oh, do they?
You got to listen to more NPR, man. That was Dmitri Shostakovich with his 13th symphony.
All right. Well, he was born 113 years ago today. Again, somebody that won't care. That I'm
also turning 90 today. He's dead. Barbara Walters turns 90 today.
Wow. An American author, poet, illustrator, and songwriter, Sheel Silverstein.
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 You didn't read Sheel Silverstein to your kids when you were little?
No, did I? What did he write? What did he write?
Well, do you listen to Manager Tools?
Sometimes.
I think about every other podcast, Mark mentions God's Wheel.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
that,
anyway.
Oh, that. Okay.
Well, Donna, what did Sheel Silverstein write that we wrote read to Julia? Where the Sidewalk Ends. You might remember that one. Okay, and I'm sure some of our listeners in the chat room will be throwing other titles at us as well. American toy creator, and he created Teddy Ruxpin, the creepy doll. Ken Forsey, or Forsa. Was born 83 years ago today.
And also born on the same date in 1937, American computer scientist and lawyer Mary Ellen Wilkes.
American actor producer Michael Douglas is 75.
Hmm. And American singer and producer, Mark Hamill, everybody's Luke Skywalker, born on this date in 1951.
Where's my lightsabers here?
Hey, there we go. We'll keep putting that thing.
Christopher Reeve, who's the actor, producer, and activist, was born the same date in 1952.
And also born on that same date in 1956, American special effects designer and television host, founded M5 Industries, Jamie Hyneman.
That Jamie Hyneman. Also turning 63 today, American computer scientist, engineer, and author, founded the Thinking Machines Corporation, W. Daniel Hills.
That sounds like a corporation for AI.
Right. Come on, music's running out.
Oh, American actress Heather Locklear is 58 today.
Also born in the same 1969, Welsh actress Catherine Zeta-Jones. We'll do the birthdays as soon as the music plays out because you can't leave them on that high note. Here we go. Birthdays from our listeners this month, year, week include the ones that we didn't do last week. September 18th, Jeff Schultz, a.k.a. Gorbash. Joel Harper, who is Rincewind from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is on the 20th. Also on the 20th, Joel Rickenbach, deceased. We've lost another listener.
Oh.
Darn it. We've been doing this a long time. That's going to happen. Have we got any new ones? Was anybody born while we were doing Technorama?
I guess they keep dropping off.
It's kind of like church, man. We're all getting old and we're all going in the dirt. Dean Jensen, a.k.a. Beaker One, long time listener.
He's still with us.
He's still with us. Well, at least we're still collecting money from Patreon.
I hope so.
On the 21st. Matthew Jarks on the 22nd. Brett is September 26th. He's from Wales. And going into October, get this now, we have a correct pronunciation on our Patreon person who we've mispronounced for a while yet. We've been having fun with it, but we're wrong, and we'll admit we're wrong. Born on October 1st is 101, Stephen Wetshee. He even puts it in here, pronounced like the first part of the word wet. I think that is the entire word wet. Mm-hmm. And the word she. So,
I wonder if that's French for like, weh, weh.
Or it could be Vecchi.
Vecchi!
Happy birthday to you. That's the way it was on this day in history for September 25th and all our birthdays. If you want to get your name on the birthday list, see right there? We've got that subtitle up there. It says go to chuckchat.com/wiki. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year when you put that on there. And if it's your birthday and you're not on there, happy birthday to you anyway. We hope you have a wonderful day. Spend it with family. Spend it with friends. Spend it any way you like. Like, money is no object. You have my permission.
Or spend it on our Patreon.
Yeah, you do one of those Facebook collection things. See how much you get for Technorama.
Let's pass the hat around.
I am donating my birthday wishes to Technorama.
Right.
I'm going to try that next March.
Yeah. I wonder if you got my wheels turning now.
Good news, nobodies.
We have some news. This is interesting. I thought this was rather entertaining. This is a Peruvian company who wants to create a laptop designed to work forever. However, there's one catch. In an age when tech companies are encouraging consumers to constantly buy newer, more expensive gadgets, one Peruvian company has just launched a substantial wooden laptop. Yes, wooden laptop designed to last at least 10 to 15 years. That's interesting because the title of this article says last forever. 10 to 15 years is not forever unless you're a cicada. I don't even think that's right. Aren't they 17 years? In an attempt to bring new and affordable technology to most remote areas of Peru, the Carrascos, that's C-A-R-R-A-S-C-O-S, a family made up of computer specialists and marketing experts created the Wawa Laptop, W-A-W-A-L-A-P-T-O-P, Wawa Laptop, an SBC, which is a single board computer, with a wooden casing that is easily taken apart. It looks like it fits together kind of like, not Lego pieces, what are those, like a dresser drawer or something. It's got interlocking pieces. Like dovetails on it, almost. Yeah,
that's kind of interesting, though.
Let's see. It easily taken apart for repairs and upgrading. The 0.1 inch or 25.65 centimeter laptop is lightweight, ultra portable, and very affordable. The Wawa laptop costs 799 Peruvian sol, which is about $235. That ain't too bad. And an upgrade, which basically means a better circuit board, can be bought for about $35 on the free market. Nice. Here's a quote.
A little thick, but I like it, though.
It is. It reminds me of the laptops of the 80s, although you can see it's clearly got four USB ports. It almost looks like there's a Raspberry Pi sticking out the side, which...
It does, doesn't it?
Wouldn't be too surprising if that might be what it's... Oh, let's find out. We'll read on. We felt we needed to give a little more something back to society, so we began with the SBCs and started working to create the first prototype, computer engineer Javier Carrasco, Wawa Laptop's technology manager, told Spanish news agency EFE. The original Wawa laptop was unveiled in 2015, but the 2.0 version, featuring recyclable medium-density fiberboard and engineered wood product casing and powered by a free Linux operating system, is finally ready to hit the main market.
You know what? I bet it is Raspberry Pi.
It could be. I'm looking, scanning for like specs that. In here. There are a couple of videos that are... If they're just, they must be investing the money into the case then, because the Pi would be about $35.
Well, what's interesting is you look at the pictures and it looks much bigger than it appears in the thumbnail when the people behind it.
Yeah, that looks like, what did it look like?
It looks like an ultra portable, you know, kind of small size. Yeah.
I mean, still a bit thicker and chunkier than your average. It does look like, what did we call them? Netbooks?
Yeah. Yeah, like a netbook.
About that size.
Hey, you know what? Going back to your earlier point, 10 to 15 years, it's pretty much forever in internet time.
Well, that's true. If you were using a 15-year-old computer today, it would have been made in 2004. Do you have any 2004 technology?
Yes, wait here. Hold on. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to get it.
I got punch cards here, but I'm not using them on a regular basis.
I do have my Merlin back here. That's much... earlier than 2004.
The microphones. My iPad is coming up on that.
Let's see. Yeah, there's probably a few things in here.
Okay.
Yeah, you got your iPads from 2004?
No, 2011. It's halfway there.
Halfway there. Okay, I'll accept that answer.
All right. Speaking of old dead things, why don't you take the next article?
Well, love the segue. You're about as smooth as Clinton is with the segue. A decades-old missing person case solved with Google Earth photos. And by the photo, I don't think I like what I'm seeing here.
No, it's not. It's not a nice story.
No. The body of a man who has been missing for nearly 22 years was found this week thanks to Google Maps, according to the Sun Sentinel. Remains of the 40-year-old William Moult turned up in a pond located behind a housing development in Wellington, Florida, after one of the residents in the neighborhood spotted what appeared to be a vehicle in the water behind his house while looking at Google satellite
images. It kind of looks like a car sitting down there, doesn't it?
And you can kind of see on the like in the corner of the picture.
Something unnatural in the water.
Yeah, there's something in there. Anyway, so Moult was first reported missing in November 8th, 1997, according to reports at the time. He was visiting a nightclub that evening prior and contacted his girlfriend around 9:30 to tell her he was on his way home. However, he and his 1994 Saturn SL never made it home. While there was speculation that he may have been drunk that evening, well, he was at a bar, there's no real way to know what happened that resulted in his death. The vehicle Moult was driving was apparently visible on Google Earth since at least 2007, according to the Charlie Project. It's certainly not the only oddity that can be spotted on Google's platform. Google Earth and Maps have gotten a reputation for occasionally catching unsuspected moments on camera. Yeah, people sunbathing on the roof in the nude. What are you looking at Donna for when I said that, right? Everything from strange...
We're careful when we go in the pool.
Everything from strange naturally occurring structures to man-made ones have appeared on the platform, but this appears to be the first instance of a missing person case.
I will admit that I did go to some of these links and look through the various oddities, some of which I've seen before on Google Earth.
Okay.
So that is a car in the picture. Interesting. Yes. That's not the body. So they found the car, and he was probably in the car, and he was probably not in the greatest shape. Some bones, I would expect.
Well, you know what's funny is you look at the... I know when you look into the satellite, and things do look different from above than mm-hmm. they would from the side.
Oh, yeah.
And even vice versa. But, you know, it looks like you could almost see it if you were standing on the edge. Depends. I don't know that you could, but...
Yeah, it really depends on the clarity of the water, the day that you're after. That doesn't look like the best water, and it looks like it could change conditions very easily. It looks like there's a lot of surface algae or scum on the surface that would obstruct your view.
It's mucky. It's a little mucky. Yeah.
And when it's darker water, we used to spot shipwrecks the same way by flying over in planes. There's a lot of things you can see from up above that you can't see at water level.
Well, I've been out at deep sea fishing, and they had a plane spotting fish. You know, you're not going to see them at the angle.
Right.
But you can see them from above. Yeah, sure.
What was his name? William Moult. I wonder if he was saying, Moult! Choo-choo! No?
No. He wasn't saying anything since 1997.
Somebody was trying to get him beamed up.
Yes.
All right. One of my favorite contests every year is the Ig Nobel Prizes. And yes, they were held again this year. This is an award for the strangest, most unusual, and downright hilarious scientific research. This is from CNN. We're not quoting CNN. We must be an upscale podcast. That says pizza might protect against cancer. Why wombats poop in cubes and a diaper changing machine that can be used on human babies. These are just some of the research and inventions.
The diaper genie is not just for hiding the diapers anymore. You just put the baby in.
It unwraps and rewraps. Some of the inventions awarded at this year's Ig Nobel Prizes, a spoof of the actual Nobel Prizes. The Ig Nobels are intended to create the unusual, honor the imaginative, and spur people's interest in science, medicine, and technology, according to its website. Even if the science does sound, hilarious. Mm-hmm. So the winners are always sure to cause a few laughs, and this year's are no different. Two scientists from France won the Anatomy Prize for measuring scrotal temperature asymmetry in naked and clothed postmen in France. for example. Another team won the economics prize for testing which country's paper money was the grossest or how well it best transmits bacteria. A third team won a peace prize for trying to measure the pleasure of scratching an itch. These are actual real studies. Yes. And we'll take anything that encourages us to eat more pizza.
Sure.
Good stuff. If you haven't checked into the Ig Nobel Prizes, I hear them all the time from Dr. Carl on Triple J, the podcast.
Oh, of course.
Yes, he mentioned.
You know what? I need to go subscribe to Dr. Carl. I have not done so.
Oh, good stuff. It's a radio call-in show. I tried getting on there last year, but the phone lines kept kicking me off. I was on
hold. What's the name of the show again?
Just Dr. Carl with a K. Just for Dr. Carl podcast.
Okay.
It's got dark, what's his last name? Krasinski? His name isn't in the title too much. You'll know him. It's right. Older guy, usually wearing wild shirts.
Hold on, while we're doing the show, I know.
And should we take the break list or should we do the Hex and Strange Stories? Let's take the break. We're half hour already. This is going fast. What the heck?
I know. Slow down. Pace ourselves.
Take a quick break and here we go. We'll be right back.
This is Bob. Before, Bob relied on the internet to enhance his geek status. After using Technorama for natural geek enhancement, Bob is rolling his 20-sided die, reciting Holy Grail lines, and answering Star Trek trivia with the best of them. And he has a happy missus at the home, too! Technorama for natural geek enhancement. Only available at chuckchat.com.
Vernon Wilmer, Star Trek The Experience is Borg Drone 7 of 16. Why are you listening to Technorama? Because resistance is futile.
I miss the Star Trek Experience.
I know. It's too soon.
11 years, buddy.
It's always too soon.
Bring back the Star Trek Experience.
You know what? And it's funny how many people carry that flag too. Not just us, but I know Clinton Alvord loved it, but there's other people there. You know, I see him all the time. Oh man, I wish we still had the Star Trek Experience. Like,
well, maybe we need to talk to April and see what the latest news is on that. She'd know.
Yeah.
All right, let's move into the Hex and Strange Stories. Right. I think it's your turn, right, buddy.
Oh, my turn?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Store clerk memorizes credit card info for over 1,300 people. Wait a minute. Let that sink in for a minute. He memorized credit card info from 1,300 people and used it online. So not everybody chooses their superpowers for good or chooses to use their superpowers for good. But case in point, this Japanese store clerk who used his amazing photographic memory to memorize the credit card info for over 1,000 clients in mere seconds of interacting with them. 34-year-old Yuki Takanashi.
Close enough.
Yeah, sounds good. Was recently arrested for having stolen the credit card information for over 1,300 people and then using it for things for himself on the internet. Apparently, Taniguchi. Yes, that sounds better.
Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchi. Tanagotchi. Is that right? Tanagotchi?
Taniguchi.
Taniguchi.
It's like the Japanese rip-off of the expensive handbags.
And belts, yeah. Worked as a part-time clerk at a shopping mall in Koto City, Tokyo, where he would use his trained photographic memory to steal people's private information whenever they used credit cards to buy something. In a few seconds it took to process the payment, the clerk would memorize the numbers on the 16-digit number on the credit cards, the holder's name, expiration date, and the Social Security number. I'm sorry, the security code, the little 3-digit code on the back.
Or 4 for all American Express. All the elements.
What's that?
4 for American Express.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I guess so. All of the elements needed to later use the card for online shopping. So using his photographic memory, also known as edict memory, Yukushi Taniguchi would recall the credit card information for as long as it took to write it down for later use.
That's not hard, actually. You can train your brain to do that.
Yeah. It would take a little practice, I think, to kind of remember all those 4 pieces and then turn around and do it again. And after a while, I would think it seems like it would get a little redundant and maybe be harder as you went. I don't know.
No, it actually gets easier because you start making patterns and associating things with numbers.
Yeah. Then you lay down.
I've been doing birthdays and phone numbers and MAC addresses for a long time.
Well, I've said it here before. I remember screwing around with IP numbers back in the day when we first started messing with them.
Yeah.
And I'd lay down at night and I just see numbers swirling and when I close my eyes.
Like Tetris.
Yeah, it's like, then I found out about DNS. Whew. Really
so helped me out. How much money did he steal?
Well, let's take a look. So Taniguchi told police he would use the he told them that he would use the credit cards to order all kinds of products he would later sell at pawn shops. That's actually how he got caught. In March of this year, he had stolen credit card data from 2 expensive shoulder bags valued of around 2,700,000 yen, which is $2,500 approximately, and had them delivered to his apartment. I guess who knows how much he had. That was just one example. So, yeah.
He wasn't stingy with other people's money.
No, see, here's the breakdown. I think the breakdown of security for credit cards, because yes, they have the chip. I think that's a better step in the right direction because you have to have the, you know the PIN and that kind of thing. But online, it doesn't matter. So it doesn't. I think the security is a little on the negligible side.
That's why you get notifications turned on your credit cards.
Yes, and you know, for a long time, Jason, one of the guys, one of our leaders in our troop, he was using, I think it was American Express Blue Card. Mm-hmm. And when he would swipe it, literally within seconds, he was getting a notification. Mm-hmm. Then the waitress or whatever would come back to give him his card. I'm like, you know, think of the process it has to go through to get that notification to you that fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I do use...
They're quick to take your money, but they're slow to give it back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it'd be 10 to 12 days, sir.
What?
Anyway, so I use my phone for most, you know, notifications like that. But we do have our notifications on for our cards. At least I know my wife does. Like, why were you so
excited? We have ours turned on, and we also get notifications when Lisa charges something. Like, oh, there she goes buying something else.
You ever call her right away and say, what did you buy that for?
Yeah, so we had to because we didn't recognize one of the store names. Like, what is this? It was like Tune Eyewear. It was something. It was international. And they flagged us on it and said, are you sure you did this? Which is good. And then we called her up and she said, yeah, but what was it? Glasses or something? Yeah. But at first you look at it like, is this music? Because it was very bizarre. But you can't be too careful these days.
No. That's right.
I know we all get lots and lots of alerts and distractions during the day, but there are some you just can't ignore. All right. And speaking of can't ignore, I couldn't ignore this article when it came up.
Okay.
This man is building a children's playhouse out of something very unusual. A soon-to-be father in China recently made international news headlines after using 2,000 packets of expired instant noodles to build a playhouse for his unborn son. Photos of the unusual playhouse went viral online quickly after it was being posted to social media by the builder, a certain Mr. Zhang from Huandian County in northeast China's Jilin. Now you got me doing it. Province.
Huandian.
He was from China.
Huandian.
Yeah. Huandian. Is that like Huawei? It's my way or the
Huawei. I think we both need a phonetic class.
In multiple languages, apparently. was, because what it says on the screen isn't always what you have to read in someone else's language. Because, you know, if it says, you know, W-E-R-A N-E-R. Well, in German, that'd be Werner, not Werner. Anyway, he told the Chinese reporters he revealed that he had spent 4 days building the edible structure out of thousands of out-of-date noodle packets fixed together with glue. Let's hope his toddler doesn't start teething on them. Quote, a friend of mine who is food wholesaler stored out a batch of expired instant noodles from his warehouse. Zhang explained, I felt it was a pity to throw them away, so I took them home. Zhang declared himself, quote, a fan of instant noodles, especially while growing up. But since he couldn't eat the 2000 packets he got from his friend, he decided to use them as building material. Who hasn't used a rice cake as a coaster? Who hasn't used ramen noodles to prop up a wobbly table leg? Mm. Come on. He's just taking it to the next level.
That's right. Well, I got news for him. You know, things don't expire on that exact date.
I hope it doesn't rain on this little house.
Yeah.
The kid's going to drown in a pile of noodles.
Yeah. Oops, we spilled boiling water on your noodle house. Sorry.
We accidentally spilled boiling water.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Is it fire safe?
Hey, went from a playhouse to a snack.
Could go up in flames. Let's give a shout out to the chat room. Speaking of snacks, this is the snack part of our show.
I was just thinking, you know, anytime you accidentally just touch the wall, you know, little pieces would fall off.
Yes. Yes. Take a hammer to that thing. It's not going to last long.
Hey, you can do like Godzilla, you know, bust out of it or something.
You know what happens when you play a Godzilla movie backwards, right? You get a benevolent lizard who builds a city for you and then breakdances into the ocean.
I do know because that's what I posted on Facebook.
I'm glad you remembered it. Why didn't you answer the question then?
I was wanting to see where this went.
Absolutely nowhere. So it was you that posted it.
That was pretty funny.
Well, I was at my nephew's birthday, actually my niece's son's birthday party yesterday, and there was a Godzilla in the pool. So I couldn't resist.
Inflatable one, I hope.
No, it was like a plastic Godzilla model, probably, I don't know, 18, 20 inches long.
Oh, okay.
And he was, everybody left the pool and there was just Godzilla floating. Like, oh, poor Godzilla.
He made a float out of expired oodles and noodles.
We do this show Sunday nights for you at 9:30 Eastern Time. We'd love to see you join in the fun if you happen to be online. Join the Technorama podcast or follow Craig or me, and you will get a notification when we do that. We have John Miller Jr., Tim Elliott, Ranger Craig Glasner. Who else do we have? We have Michael King. We've got
Everett Thompson.
Clinton Alvord. Morgan Byers.
Tim Elliott.
And that's about all I'm seeing at this moment.
I see Douglas All.
Okay.
Craig Glasner.
Yep.
Maybe that's it. All right.
Okay. Good group of people. Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you if you happen to be around on Sunday nights and you're not watching NFL or some awards ceremony or out with your spouse on your anniversary. You know, I'm counting the important things as excuses not to watch, but other than that, you shouldn't really have an excuse not to watch or.
Yeah, you're right. Don't make any excuses. Make your oodles and noodles first and then come join us. Hey, by the way, John Miller Jr. asked, is it chicken or beef flavored?
Teriyaki. Nobody eats the teriyaki.
I like the creamy chicken one. Actually, you know what I used to do instead of making it? You're supposed to make it as soup.
Yes.
And I would boil the noodles, drain them.
Yes.
And then
and then
I would put the salt all over it. You know, I didn't like it as a soup.
For maximum sodium intake.
Yeah, I would just eat the dish.
I often found that half a pack was enough.
Oh, really? Sometimes I would go with two.
And then you could take the extra and sprinkle it on your popcorn.
Oh, you're talking about the noodles or the...
Oh, I want a screenshot of that. Me busting out laughing. You have a confused look on your face.
I was thinking, are you talking about the noodles or the salt?
that little salt packet full of chicken flavoring.
Oh, I was like, it's kind of weird to put the noodles on your popcorn.
No, we used to do that with the mac and cheese. You take the cheese powder and put it on your popcorn.
You know, you can just buy that at the store.
I know. We do. We buy like big buckets of it on Amazon all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
All right. Thank you to our patrons. You guys really support this show. I just paid off about 3 years worth of debt in hosting and gadgets and other computer stuff for this podcast. Thanks to you. And we are saving up for our next round of hosting and domain registration, which is in less than 2 years. So really appreciate it. Thanks to the likes of Kyle Nishioka, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Mega Podtastic, that would be Crazy Joe, Night Gig Studios, that would be JT Shea, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, thank you, Leon, thank you, John Noble.
Whoa. That Leon?
Yes, that Leon. Chris okay. MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, that would be Grant Pachoco, Steve Therian, Jorgish Rowan, John Miller Jr., that would be John Miller Jr.
Oh, that one.
Amber Elstad, Harold McKinstry, Amy Bowen, Denise Inglis, here we go, first time trying it, Stephen Wetchy. All right, we can still have fun with it. Yeah. Dean Jensen, he's Beaker One. Dandy Mancoyer, he's Dandy Man. NCAF One, which is Mark Kilfoyle and Matt Baum. We're giving away all your private information here on the show.
Wait, are we? What?
Email us and we'll send you those people's credit card numbers, too.
Right. No, we do not.
No, we do not. I don't even know them. Patreon insulates us from
personal
that.
Personal security is not something to laugh at, Chuck.
Darn it.
Shame on you.
Now you tell me. All right, if you want to be part of this fun, you can go over to patreon.com, Technorama Podcast, see how long it takes us to get your name right before you correct it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's probably not even John Noble.
Yeah.
For all we know, we're screwing that up too. Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast is where you can get as little as a dollar a show. You get our undying love. You get special content that is just for you, our wonderful Patreon people. And when we go on our next Star Trek cruise, we're going to be sending you all postcards again. So thank you. And with that, let's fade out, cut the music.
When you said thank you, I was thinking nanu. I don't know where I...
I have been doubling up on my gratitude lately. Or doubling down.
Good morning. You're walking by your neighbors. Good morning.
Yeah. What's next? Media Corner. We have a Media Corner. Wow, this show is just going on and on tonight. We have some catching up to do.
Yes, we do.
I liked this one.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
He's jumping the gun on the Media Corner guy?
Yeah, I am. Talking all over myself.
Yeah.
Okay, did you see this? Did you watch the video?
Yeah, I think I put it in the show note or in our stack. But yes, I did. I have seen this. This is awesome.
So there's this thing called deepfakes, which puts people's faces on other people's actors and bots. And, well, they did what
some are better than others.
I wish this was out. What was it, 10 years or so, maybe more than that, 15 years ago? When was Star Trek Nemesis out? Long time ago, right? And we all know
2009?
That...
2009? I'm trying to remember.
We all know that Tom Hardy, right, played Shinzon before he played Bane, before he played a lot of other roles. And the movie didn't really garner the best of ratings. Well, this would have made it better, I think.
Oh, yes. To be honest with you, when I was watching this, I went, that's the movie I want to see.
And the expressions from the... So they deepfake, they put Jean-Luc Picard's face onto Shinzon. So now, granted, Shinzon is supposed to be a younger version of him, but...
A younger clone.
And, you know, putting Patrick Stewart's face onto a younger body, but it's still his older face, was a little weird. But the expression when you see Troy and Picard looking at Shinzon going, what the heck is that? When they turn on the lights, it was really well done. It's a very short video, only a few minutes long, of that scene where he introduces himself, turns on the lights, and they're all like, whoa?
Yeah, because it fit very well.
Yeah, it did.
Be clear, the deepfakes, they use AI to replace the faces. So that's why it's lots of times it's really close in expressing the emotion because it's working to you know, to put the faces right in the right spot.
Yep.
And yeah, as soon as he turns the lights on, I was like, what? I said, oh, that's, I want to see that.
It was still Tom Hardy's voice. Yeah. Do the whole movie.
That's fine. Actually, I think it would be great because it adds another layer because, you know, the problem is, I guess that kind of took me out of it, is that, okay, you got this guy. He's angry about he didn't get the life that Picard got. But then the disconnect is he doesn't look like him, yet he's supposed to be a clone. He doesn't actually physically look like him.
Now, if they put deep fake together with de-aging, like they did Michael Douglas in Endgame.
Yeah. Then you got a stew going.
Then I think it's time for a redo of that movie.
And then you got a Patrick Stew going. I think that could be really cool because it was, they all give the expression like they're surprised to see what they're seeing.
But it wasn't genuine in the real movie. When you're looking at Tom Hardy, it's like, that's not him.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, this is pretty awesome.
I guess that's a testament to the actors trying to fake the sketch. Like, yeah, instead of just laughing at him going, you're not Jean-Luc Picard's clone.
Yeah.
They gave a convincing performance enough so that when they did put in this deep fake, it actually was genuine. Like, wow, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I was enamored. I don't know. I was engrossed when I saw that. I was like, okay, now you got my attention. I really want to see that.
Please go over to our show notes at chuckchat.com/technorama. Look for episode 576. We'll get this posted up lickety-splickety quick. And you can go look for the... What?
No, just lickety-split. What is...
Well, it rhymes. I'm just making it even better. Like super fantabulous.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did I tell the lady at the...
You're nifty,
hotel
Chuck.
The other day, which said, how are you doing today? And I said, splantastic. And she went, she thought, I made up a new word. I said, all right, if you hashtag that, I get the credit.
Yeah, I'm fine and dandy.
One more story for the Geek Library. This is not surprising, but a little disappointing. Disney CEO cuts ties with Apple because they're not called the streaming wars for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Disney CEO Bob Iger has bowed out of Apple's board of directors ahead of what's sure to be heated competition come November when both companies release their dueling standalone streaming services, because consumers just want to pay for another streaming service, don't we? You know, years ago, I wanted a la carte TV because honestly, I'm not going to watch C-SPAN or QVC or any of those others. So why am I paying for this package? Well, it's so they could sell those other channels. Now that we've got a la carte, it's getting a little out of hand. But anyway, there's mergers or things coming up.
I think it's getting out of hand. It's getting out of hand because you're end up with the bundling problem again. You got Hulu with this stuff over here. You got Disney Plus with their stuff over here. You know, but there's not going to be much overlay. You know,
at least there's choices.
Yeah.
Instead of just paying the cable company one big fat fee and going, here, you get what you get. When I was in a hotel last week, I'm flipping channels going, my goodness, there really is still nothing on. It was terrible. And they had like 40 channels. I know that's not the most in the world, but out of those 40, they're really, it was sad. So there's a reason I don't have cable anymore. So
I'm sorry, go ahead.
According to a filing Apple submitted to the Securities and Exchange Commission on Friday, he resigned on September 10th, coinciding with the company's annual iPhone extravaganza, which was also revealed in important details about the Apple TV Plus service. I'm sure many of our viewers and listeners have already got that news. Quote, I have the utmost respect for Tim Cook, his team at Apple, and for my fellow board members, Iger said in a statement to The Hollywood Reporter. Apple is one of the most admired companies, known for quality and integrity of its products and its people. I am forever grateful to have served as a member of the company's board. Earlier this week, Apple announced its dedicated streaming service, which will roll out at $5 per month starting on November 1st, just 11 days before Disney launches. Well, or Disney Plus, I'm sorry. So we have, what is it? Apple TV Plus and Disney Plus. Everything needs a plus now.
It's Apple Plus and Disney Plus.
Everything needs a plus. Apparently, will become Technorama Plus. We're not sure plus what. Maybe it just means we're oversized 16 or something. I don't know.
See, him and John Miller Jr. said what I said is the, you know, the streaming service, they're bundling their own services again. So now, but you do have choice more than say in my case, I don't know about Phoenix, but here I can only get cable internet or cable TV from one provider.
I think we have Cox and something else. Not Comcast.
I mean, I can probably get like AT&T or I don't know. No, but I can only get cable TV from my local provider. You could get Sling.
I mean,
now Sling you're talking about streaming. I'm talking about
that's
cable.
Effectively cable. It's got live service on it as well.
Well, so does Hulu Plus.
Is that live? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Don is agreeing. It's live. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Cable internet or cable TV, which is bundled. I don't have really any choice either. Well, the only choice I have is, do you want this package or this package?
Right.
But so I love the streaming services, but, and yeah, I do have some choice. I had some extra Christmas cash. I bought the DC Universe, which I can read some comics on there, but I also get to watch their stuff. We pay for Hulu. I get Prime with Prime. You know,
I totally get why they did this.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they're going to get a lot more money if they say, look at all this content we've got. We could put together our own streaming service and reap all the rewards without giving some to Netflix and without giving some to, you know, it's like, why are we standing on the sidelines as a participant when we could be in the game? And, you know, Disney, yeah. I own Disney stock. I want to see them succeed. So,
okay.
It makes sense. Not,
you know, are you in the filing too? I don't see your name listed in the
I'm a shareholder. I didn't get a vote.
Chuck says that he wants them to succeed too. I bet he does.
All right. Here we had a question of the week about, you know, if I had a dollar every time something happened at the top of the show. This week's is, finish this sentence. If I send a 140 character message to my younger self, I'd write probably be loaded with stock ticker symbols.
I would send myself a bit.ly link to a longer article.
Here's a URL to a page that explains everything.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, stay away from this girl. She's going to end up no good.
Yeah. Was it buy Yahoo stock and sell it before it's too late?
Amazon. Yeah, buy here, sell there. Wow, you're a regular Biff, aren't you?
Yes, yeah, right.
Instead of the sports betting, you could just run the stocks. So that takes us to the end of the show. Thank you, Craig.
Does it? Wow.
Maybe next time we'll have Brian show up. Could happen.
Maybe.
Could happen. Maybe Ben and Keith will stop by at some point.
Take a second and wave at him.
Wait, he's over there.
Throw across the yard.
That way. Start throwing things.
That's right.
Thank you.
Go outside and throw some rocks at his head.
Thank you, wonderful viewer and or listener. Thank you for joining us and giving us your time. I hope you found this somewhat entertaining. If not, slightly informative. That's our goal, and we're sticking to it. Let's play the end of show stuff. We are out. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. Hasn't changed in a few years. Yes?
We have not gotten a voicemail in quite a while. We need to exercise it.
A legitimate voicemail. We have received some
pocket dial and
butt dial. We don't care what part of your anatomy you use to dial the phone.
I do. Actually, I do.
Be creative. I'm all about imagination here.
Okay. All right. Fine. Whatever.
Theater of the mind, people. Hey,
it's 2019.
Hello, whatever. Technorama. I dialed this with my nose.
Yeah, it's 2019, right, Chuck?
Send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. You can find all our contact information and more over at chuckchat.com/technorama. We want to hear from you. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. That would be wonderful. And Craig, give me that big, beautiful binary high five.
All right. 101, everybody. See ya.